This is Femi Kuti, and you are listening to NYC Radio Live.
All right, you're listening to NYC Radio Live. I'm here with Ezra Gale of Mali Tigre. He just came out with a really awesome new album. Good to hang with you, Ezra.
Great to be here.
Yeah, man. So we first met. Actually, it's funny. My last guest on the podcast was Kiran Aluwalia.
Okay.
And she was also out in Timbuktu.
And she was there too.
She was playing with Tanarwin, yeah.
Oh, okay. Same time we were.
Yeah.
So she jammed with Bono then.
Bono played with...
played with Tanarwin one. No, then they played again.
Oh, okay. Yeah, she didn't play at the same time.
Sorry, I didn't mean to put such a downer on things. You know. Yeah.
The funny thing about Bono's performance, well, there's a few funny things. So just for background for the listeners, Ezra and I met in Timbuktu in 2012. 14?
I think it was 2012. Yeah.
Okay.
Timbuktu.
And we were in the Sahara Desert, and it was the last of the festival au déserts. With camels, people showing up on camels and sleeping in tents and
carrying rifles and big machetes and lots of jewelry. And
I actually almost I was kind of not paying attention, and I looked up and I had stumbled into a camel race. They were bearing down on me. I was like, fuck. And I just ran to the crowd and grabbed a random person and held them. And we both thought it was funny.
You were almost that guy. There's the statistic of, the festival was a great success, yes. Except for there was one camel racing casualty.
When will the camel racing deaths end? So Bono showed up, and he had his security detail, which was, I guess, necessary, I suppose. But they were telling people that they couldn't take any pictures, which that was a little strange because that was not the vibe of the festival. And then he went on stage, and they announced him as Bono from YouTube.
Yeah, well, it struck me. So we're at the festival in the desert in outside of Timbuktu on the edge of the Sahara. Incredible music festival, musicians from Mali and Niger and all over that region and everywhere. And then Bono makes his star appearance with Tanarwin, and it's really kind of a letdown because nobody really wants to see him there. But it really struck me that that's one of the only places on the planet where people actually didn't know who he was. You know,
it's
probably not many places that Bono can go where they're like, I'm sorry, what? How do you say your name again?
Right. it reminded me a little bit of this video. I don't know if they were real or not, but I saw a video where the guitarist's electronics went wrong at a could have been Van Halen, one of those type shows. Maybe it wasn't Van Halen because it wasn't Eddie Van Halen, but John Bon Jovi.
Okay.
It was the electronics went wrong, and so it was off by a quarter tone or something horrible.
Right.
But the guy just went through the motions. He just rock started out, even though the music sounded ridiculous. He went to the end of the stage and threw his head back and, fell to his knees, but... And that was kind of what happened with Bono. He was, you saw, oh, that's how you be a rock star. With all the motions and
his sunglasses.
And the gestures. And
the
all
gestures.
That.
He had the gestures. Yeah. All I remember is that he said they did a 20-minute jam or maybe more. It felt longer. It felt it was, maybe it was only five minutes.
Baseku, yeah.
Yeah, and he kept saying, Vive les chansons du désert. Over and over and over again, that was the song that,
Yeah, I was just thinking, man, if the dude had just learned one phrase in Arabic, he could have killed. They would have eaten
people
it
would have loved it, yeah.
But learned one line from one of their songs or something. But
But I guess, you know, hey, he went all the way there, paid his respects. So
yeah, it was cool.
Hats off to him. But but yes, we did meet in Timbuktu.
Yeah.
People say Timbuktu when they mean, you know, middle of nowhere, but it's a real place that we met.
Yeah, and I have kind of funny memories. I was telling someone else that of, like, I'd be, like, jamming out in, like, some tent, having the time of my life with members of Hyder Arby's band. And then, like, I'd step out and I'd see you in another tent, like, doing the same thing. And I'm like, hey, man, this is my – I'm the guy doing this.
That's right. Yeah, there were – yeah, in fact, I even saw myself on YouTube, some random video of me jamming in a tent with some dudes, you know, in the middle of the day.
So
there.
Funny. Cool. Yeah. So anyway, you got this smoking, and our paths don't only cross there. I guess we were in the same band, but at different times.
Kakandi, yeah.
Yeah, who, I played guitar for a couple years there.
Right, who I still play with occasionally.
Awesome.
Amazing band, mostly from Guinea. I play up in Harlem a lot.
Nice, yeah, that's with Fomoro Jabate, who's a great musician, arranger, and so forth. So yeah, now the occasion is you get this like new album. I love it, man. It's on fire.
Thank you so much. Yeah, it's Mali Tigre, and it's sort of named for Mali the country, even though it's spelled Mali the person, and then Tigre, which is a nod to the region of Ethiopia, Tigre, and it's sort of a mix. The concept was a mix of music from sort of Mali and Ethiopia and just kind of mashing them together, even though they're not really that similar. But, you know, we wanted to see what would happen sort of if we mix these things. And I actually really started thinking of it after that trip to Mali, to the festival in the desert. It was just kind of being totally captivated by all that music and thinking, like, how could I do something like this, but not, you know, not exactly this, but, you know, somehow doing something with this. And hooked up with Mitch Marcus, tenor sax player, and Chris Hyatt, another sax player, and just started getting together and bouncing these ideas around and kind of, you know, going from there. One thing we do, we just sort of decide, or it just happened that we have no guitar or keyboard, so it's like a gives it a much more open sound. And of course, a lot of the music from Mali and Ethiopia is very guitar based, you know, so it automatically gives it a really different sound right there, you know. So, but we kind of just wanted to see what would happen there.
Yeah. So let's check something out. What should we listen to?
We could listen to a tune called Slush Fund. That's a pretty cool tune. Actually, this one does have some Farfisa organ on it that we put on.
Nice.
That Mitch played, which was just sitting around the studio, and we decided that belongs on this.
How could
this
you
track.
Not?
How could we not do that? But yeah, Slush Fun is a cool jam.
Okay.
It's myself and Mitch and Chris, and then Joe Abba Tuano on drums, and Kolipe Ibrahima Kamara. His name is Kolipe.
Oh,
you
I
might know
Kolipe,
him from
yeah.
Kakandi. A great djembe player is also on this.
Sweet.
On this
Let's
album.
Check it out.
Cool. We'll be right back.
right. That was Slush Fun from Mali Tigre. And you were telling me, like, Slush Fund is just some kind of undefined shady pool of money.
I think that's basically what it is. That's the phrase. I no idea why that came to mind for the title of that song.
There's
something
but cool
I think
about
that. I think it's just, yeah, dip into the Slush Fund if you need to just, you know, take care of something.
Right.
Any porn stars that need to be silenced or whatever, you know. Just,
okay. So that's
just use that. Little tip.
Okay. Wow. So very cool. And on this album, there's, you know, it has a super kind of like, there's a very like fresh sound to it. I don't know how one goes about achieving that, except I don't know if was it intentional? Like, what you said before about the openness, there's something there, mm-hmm. you know, in terms of the, but I don't know, like,
yeah, well, I think I've always been somebody who's, I've never been interested in doing something that's already been done, mm-hmm. Even if that would be a lot better.
Right.
So getting into this music from Mali and Ethiopia and North Africa, I consciously didn't want to put a band together that would just sort of, even if it wasn't covers, but just do that style. Like, it's just never made any sense to me. Like, why would you, you know, you love that music, so listen to that music. But if you're going to play it, like, do something else with it. So that, and I think everybody in this group feels that way too. So there was, I think, a real kind of desire to sort of just put something new together and use these kind of rhythms and concepts and everything as building blocks for something, I guess. And then having the no guitar or keyboard chordal instrument is, I think, definitely part of it, because it gives it such a more open sound that can kind of go in a lot of different directions, I guess.
Yeah, and there's also kind of the vibe of it, to me, has like kind of a 70s funk kind of vibe, a kind of analog feel, and also like kind of hip hoppy. I don't know, something it has that kind of thing, like a.
Oh, good.
So people, it's a dance thing. Huh?
It's definitely a dance. Yeah, I mean, it's you know, I call it body music for sure. I mean, mm-hmm. we play, and there's certainly people dancing. I mean, I'd like to think it's music you can sit and listen to. Also, you know, the idea would be to do both, but it certainly gets people moving when we play. I mean, you know, the music that this is drawing from, like, you know, I mean, all over Africa, but certainly Mali is like, you know. Music is their daily bread, you know. I mean, mm-hmm. it's a party, and it's like a sacrament, and it's like a ceremony, and it's all, you know, everything rolled into one. So everybody's moving all the time. It's got to move you somehow,
right?
So I think that's part of it. But you know, all the other influences, you know, we're not really, can't pretend to be from Mali or from anywhere else. I mean, we grow up hearing what we hear around here on the radio and in our cars and wherever. So if there's funk and hip hop and whatever that comes through there, I'm sure that that's what that's from too.
Yeah.
You know?
And so who are the killers, like, musician wise that people should know about from Mali and from Ethiopia that have kind of made their way into your music? And
oh gosh. Well, for the Ethiopian stuff, it was that, what turned me on, of course, was that series of Ethiopeaks mm-hmm. CDs that came out years ago. That I think there's like 20 of them or something. That just kind of were all compilations of Ethiopian music, mostly from the 70s, 60s, and 70s, I guess. And just incredible stuff. I mean, just like, you know, James Brown mixed with these bizarre Ethiopian scales. It just was like, you know, music you've never even can't even conceive of, really. And one of them is Mulatu Azteke, yeah. which mm-hmm. I got a couple of his records. He was actually a vibraphonist, but really made some incredible records. And a lot of people know his stuff from the Broken Flowers soundtrack, the Jim Jarmusch movie.
Oh, okay.
It was on that. A lot of people know him from that.
He just played in Brooklyn, actually.
Is that right? Oh, great.
Yeah, killed
great.
It. Oh, my God. It was incredible.
Right. Yeah, so that and then the stuff from Mali. I mean, there's just so much. A lot of the stuff that we saw at the festival in the desert. I mean, Kudede and Tinariwen, of course, Habib Poite, Ali Farkatore. I mean, these are all like different styles slightly of music from northern Mali, but
yeah.
A lot of the, they call it the desert blues with the guitar that really does have something to do with what we think of as blues, even though it doesn't sound exactly the same, but you know, a lot of the...
There was one guy I heard, and I never even got his name. I heard a recording of a Malian musician, and he was just playing like a vamp and talking, and it went on for like 25 minutes, and he sounded... I mean, it could have been like a John Lee Hooker track. It was really eerie how close that... And there are even... Yeah.
I heard, I think I was listening to KCR, what was it, Sunday, there's that blues show in the afternoon, and they were playing a bunch of John Lee Hooker, and it made me think of that, that Malian kind of talking blues style, because he just plays this one riff and just goes on and on and on, and it's just, it's like, it puts you in a trance, you know, it's just trance music, and that's a lot of that style from that region over there, you know, so makes you wonder with the connection.
Yeah. So let's keep listening. What's popping into your head on what we're talking about?
We could do there's one cover on the on this album, and then that's the a Mulatu tune called Yekermo Su. So we could play that one.
All right, let's check it out. Some music by Ali Tigre, interpreting music from Latu, Ethiopia. Killing, man. And did I noticed you guys had saxophone players getting a little touching into the free zone. Did Latu ever go there?
You know, some of that, I have a record of his. Apparently, he lived in New York. So he had a little bit of that influence. There's a record I have of his called, I think it's called Afro Latin Soul. And it's the most bizarre and coolest, like Montunos and Afro Cuban kind of thing with Ethiopian, you know, solos and keyboard solos and whatever on top of it. It's so bizarre. It's really great. It's from like 69 or 70, I think. So he definitely, I think, was aware of that kind of, you know, pushing the boundaries kind of thing. But I think if you listen to the classic Ethiopian sound of one to another, you don't need to hear too much of, like, going completely wrong.
So you've never traveled to Ethiopia?
No, I haven't been. It's on the bucket list.
Through the records.
Through the records, and seeing what we, you know, whoever got. I made the pilgrimage to. I've been to West Africa twice. I went to Ghana and Nigeria. My old band, Afro Deja.
Oh, wow.
That was like 4 years. It was 6. Anyway. We actually, the whole band went. Ended up playing it at the shrine.
We made a
pilgrimage from Ghana through Togo and Benin, crossing borders in a big bus. It was quite a story, and played in the show for a couple nights of Legos, and then went back to Ghana. You know. So we were there for about a month.
That's the part you go with the Afrobeat, right?
Yeah, pretty much. That's pretty much the place, yeah.
Yeah.
All over. I mean, there was, you know, we were a white Afrobeat band. So as soon as we landed in Africa, a white band in Africa was pretty big. So we didn't have to really do much. People were kind of like finding us. Let's come play. You play tomorrow. So we played. I think we were there for a month, and we must have played like 20 days somewhere. Very much. I mean, there was definitely a lot of curiosity. There was, I think, the biggest one we did in Ghana was at the Accra Arts Center, I think, which was like this more formal kind of music hall in the city. But there was just a lot of just bars and restaurants and clubs and stuff that we happened to. And then we took a trip up north near the border of Burkina Faso. Went to this village that these this other group called the African Showboy. There and the local market day. It was very much a fly by the seat of our pants. You know, we tried to plan things out before we went there, and that doesn't really work.
Right.
Once you're there, it's just kind of like, all right, this guy says that we can play at his place, you know, like in a couple hours. Let's do that, I guess.
Nice. Wow. Yeah. No, I spent about 4 months in Ghana in 99.
Oh, great.
So, I know how receptive they are.
They're
just incredibly kind of joyous people.
Oh, yeah. It's the most beautiful place. Anybody listening, if you're wondering if you should go, you should definitely go.
Yeah.
Go to Ghana. It's a beautiful experience.
No question.
Yeah, the people are amazing. And we just found everybody, as soon as they heard, we did a lot of songs that used Ghanaian languages. Our singer had lived there before, and so she sang in Ga and in Ewe. And as soon as people heard that, we weren't sure how they would react to that. Like, is this, you know, are they going to think we're ripping them off? Are they going to think? But they loved it. They just absolutely loved it and wanted to talk to us about it and wanted to know, how did she learn that? How did you know? Right. How did you guys do that? You know, they're very flattered, I think, when they see people playing their music. You know,
yeah.
They're, I think it's more like a sign of respect than we realize, you know. We think, oh, we're ripping them off, but that's not how they think about it at all.
I mean, the missionaries aren't like learning how to play high life
exactly.
or whatever.
Yeah.
You know?
So
cool. Well, and then I don't know, should we hear something else from the album or?
Yeah, sure. We could do, you know, there's a tune. Maybe we can play one more. It's called Couscous Timbuktu that I wrote. Kind of about that journey to Timbuktu when we were both there, and the sections of the songs are all named for different streets. There's Rue de la Paix and Grand Marché and Petit Marché, I think. And what was going through my mind writing this song was just how much of a cosmopolitan place Timbuktu is, and always has been for like centuries. It's been this kind of crossroads meeting place, you know, melting pot of North Africa and Sub-Saharan Africa and all these different trading routes, and the camel caravans that come in with the blocks of salt from the desert, and then the people who come up from the south to get it, and it's just this mix of cultures. So I was thinking that writing this song.
Wow. All right, let's check it out. Thank you. I'm here with Ezra Gale of Mali T. Gray and Super Hi-Fi and Aphrodisia. You know, one thing we didn't talk about was the epic journey we took to record Nora Mintse Mali acoustic.
That's right. In Timbuktu.
That was no joke,
we
man.
Went into town and recorded her. That was great.
And we, I remember we stepped outside with that bass player, hung out for a little while, and then when we came back, she started singing, and I know I started crying. I don't know if you did, too. I thought you did, too.
I think I may have.
To hear those, Moorish, because, I mean, we were just, in the middle of, it was like we went into a time machine, and, all the houses were made of mud everywhere and that kind of scene. And then to hear her sing with such power, these ancient, kind of Moorish sounding lines that I kind of always knew existed, but never actually heard, this mix of African and Middle Eastern. As is that region. I mean, that was
amazing.
I was floored.
Yeah. Her voice was so powerful, and to hear it right there, just sitting in the room in Timbuktu with her in it, like you said, mud walls and everything. And then after we were done, we ate a goat. Remember that? We all just got on the floor, and they brought a goat in, and we all ate the goat.
I was kind of joking. I just saw somebody come in with a carcass of some type and a garbage bag, and there were flies going around it. And just as a joke, I was like, oh, did someone order takeout? And then I didn't realize... And then they were trying to stand the goat up as we were talking as we're eating. We're just supposed to pull pieces of meat.
Pulling
off
pieces
of it.
Off it, yeah.
And
yeah.
The legs would give out and splay out.
That was certainly one of those traveling instances where I was just kind of like, I'm just going to do this right now because if I think about it too much, I might do something insulting to these people.
Right, right.
And then it turned out that it was really, really good also, you know.
Yeah.
But to get over that initial, like, oh, okay.
Yes, Westerners are not used to, we're not used to eating just an animal, like,
from the bone, you know, from the bringing the animal in, and you just kind of rip off pieces of flesh and start chewing.
Like, what was the preparation process? They just like grabbed it and put it in the fire, you know.
Basically, yeah.
Wow, that was amazing. And I was actually really proud because when Noor came to New York, I ended up recording her with some of the Brooklyn Raga Massive
Cats.
Oh,
great, great.
And then we had them all over at a friend's house who made this like amazing Indian food. And like, I was so relieved and proud that like we returned the favor. Cause that's pretty incredible hospitality.
It was amazing.
To give us a full goat.
A full goat and a full concert. I mean, you know, just for us. I mean, it was, yeah, it was really special. And to just sit there and talk.
Yeah, and hang.
And hang.
They're sweet people.
Yeah.
So it was amazing. Noor Mense Mali, if you don't know about her.
From Mauritania, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, her mom is Dimi Mintaba.
Okay.
A really famous singer. And I hadn't heard of her, except that I did an interview with Jack DeJohnette at KCR, and he was like, you never heard of Dimi Mintaba? So that was how I connected the dots to Noor.
Oh, wow. That's very cool.
Anyway, yeah, man. So this is exciting, and you've got you're playing around the city with this group.
Yeah, well, we're doing the record release or CD release show at New Blue on June 1st, Friday.
Soon.
That's next Friday.
Yeah,
yeah, Friday, June 1st, and it's an early show. It's from 7 to 10 p.m. New Blue on Avenue C, and the new Blue, not the old New Blue, mm-hmm. which is on 151 Avenue C. I think it's at 9th Street. So that's going to be next Friday with Molly Tigre there, and we'll play all the songs from the CD, I'm sure, and several more.
All right. Did we miss anything? Cover all the bases?
I think that's, yeah. The bases, all right. Bases are covered.
Should we check out something from one of your former projects?
Yeah, sure, sure.
What should we play on the way out?
We can play... let's see, we can play a super hi-fi track, which is a more sort of dub reggae, but there's a African kind of sounding track on there called Little Black Book that we could play. That might be a nice little segue there. That's cool. This is a band that plays around town, has two trombone players, guitar, bass, and drums, and this is a song about meter maids. That's the Little Black Book of the title.
Nice. So. And I look forward to this other song called Son of Revenge of the Whales.
Yes, that's right. There's Revenge of the Whales, and then there's Son of Revenge of the Whales.
Okay.
You have to follow it all the way through.
Nice. All right. Well, good hanging with you. Congrats on the new album. Sounds awesome.
Thanks so much. Thanks for having me over.
Yeah, my pleasure.
This is great.
Peace.